Hello, everybody. My name is Owen, and this is Owen's Gadget Talk for I've lost count. Wednesday, 2nd of September, 2020. Yes, it's still 2020. We're roughly 3 months from the end of this year. Thank God, it's almost over, or else I would completely, everyone, you know how it's gone this year, everyone's feelings. Anyways, so I think, like I promised on Monday, we have a lot to talk about. The Galaxy Z Fold 2, the Axon 20 5G, the new NVIDIA RTX 30 series. What else? And some tech news. Anyways, let's get right into it. Samsung has released its new, has talked more about its foldable yesterday, the Galaxy Z Fold 2, which is basically Samsung's third foldable phone, pretty much, if you describe it that way. Basically, yesterday's event was essentially was Samsung showing some cool things off that it didn't show earlier, and kind of confirming the price and release date. Let's just cut through the noise and basically and state this, that the Galaxy Z Fold 2 will be out on September 18th in around 40 markets. This is straight from Sam. This is coding straight from Samsung, including United States and South Korea. It'll be available on September 18th, and pre-orders have already started since yesterday, obviously in select markets. The Galaxy Z Fold 2 will cost $2,000 or something equivalent in your own local currency. That's probably an astronomical amount of money for a phone. You really are paying the early adopter tax, literally, for a foldable phone. I mean, it's quite cutting edge. Honestly, I think now, if you've jumped the ship, if you were on the fence of getting a Galaxy Fold and you avoided getting it or you missed out, I think now it's kind of a good time to get in early adopter wise into the Z Fold 2. It's well more polished out than these Galaxy Fold, comparatively. The Z Flip is a good option equally. It's a little cheaper than the Z Fold 2 if you don't care about getting an exact foldable phone. The Z Fold 2, really, you're getting arguably one of the only truly foldable smartphones on the market, hands down. So it's genuinely a good value if you ask me. So what did they talk much about? What did they talk about the Z Fold 2 yesterday? What were they, aside from price and availability? Overall, they talked about how they basically showed off the software features, because really, as much as the hardware makes up, as much as the hardware is innovative, that's only half of the story. Software makes up most of the story. We all use our phones. It's the main interact touch point, let's just say, in commercial jargon. The main touch point is software. So that One UI 2.0 doing wonders right here, ladies and gentlemen. Basically, it's dramatically improved from the Galaxy Fold in terms of switching around. So the idea is that you're doing something on your main outer screen. You just flip out the f okay, you fold out the phone, and switch straight to whatever you are on the front outer display like that. You could see the videos online if you want to, and basically it switches around much more faster than the previous Fold. It can run multiple apps at once. So it's quite polished. The software is quite polished. Looks like they really were waiting for a release date. They were trying to see if the software was up to speed. I bet that's why it took them forever to launch the Z Fold 2, probably is the software. Hardware is not the hard the hardest part is not the hardware. Get it? But it's actually the software. If the OS glitches out on the foldable, then who's gonna buy a foldable, by the way? So just reading from the press release, you have seamless multitasking, so drag and drop works out of the gate. You can have run multiple apps at once, switch them around, have app pairs where you essentially have a set of different apps running at once. So you can do it like you can have your WhatsApp, email, YouTube or Spotify all running at once. So that's that. Another one is optimized app display. So this one is interesting. This is another, I think there's a software feature really that they're bringing now for the first time to the Z Fold 2, compared to the Galaxy Fold. Galaxy Fold, really, if you used a bunch of apps, All you got really was a blown out, stretched out version of the smartphone apps. Now on the Galaxy Z Fold 2, they're obviously tweaking the software a bit. So apps like Spotify will run almost a desktop view. If you've used a desktop app for Spotify, basically you get a menu on the left, complete tray on the left. So you can go through your, you can click through various settings. It's a bit like the PC app. In fact, that's what the power foldables are. There's phone on one side, and then there's obviously you fold out, you flip out, you get a full desktop computing experience. You get full blown out computing, like never before, really. Spotify was a good example though, because everyone uses Spotify, and you're probably listening to my show on Spotify, obviously. So, yeah. So, you open it out, and essentially gives you a full almost desktop version of Spotify. I don't know how it is on the tablets. It's still a bit blown out like the smartphone version, but it's stretched out. You see more data. And then on Outlook, for example, you can have your mail list on one side, and you have your mail lie on the right. Basically, like a PC, like a laptop. Yeah, laptop-like experience. It's good, really. That's what you buy a foldable for. That's what you buy a foldable for. You get the compatibility, and you get the wide display. You get the big screen effect and compatible and compactness all in one. Aside from that, a lot of the hardware specs were kind of confirmed at this point. So you get a 6.2. I mean, I covered it in my episode a few weeks ago, where we covered the Unpacked event. I mentioned already, but I'll just say it finally. It will have a outer 6.2-inch display, 6.2-inch HD plus Super AMOLED display, at roughly 386 pixels per inch, and an inner display of 7.6-inch. QXGA plus dynamic AMOLED 2X display. God, these specs are quite complex. Quite a mouthful. The inner dis the foldable display inside is at 373 pixels per inch. Pretty crispy. Overall, you have a 10 megapixel selfie camera inside and out. So the inner and outer selfie cameras will be the same sensor. And in the back, on one side, the camera, it'll be a 12 megapixel ultra wide f/2.2 camera with 123 degrees field of view, and a 12 megapixel wide angle camera, f/1.8 with a 83 degree field of view, pretty exact. And then 12 megapixel telephoto camera with 45 degrees field of view and f/2.4 aperture. So, and also the cameras will come with dual optical image stabilization, so you get OIS on two of the sensors instead of the three. Oh well, that's good. And it will come with a 7 nanometer, I mean, it doesn't mention the exact processor. It's probably gonna be in Snapdragon 865 or the Exynos 990, depending on your market. Hang on, let me check this real quick. So kind of going through the pain of checking online about what processor it is. It's the Snapdragon 865 Plus out of the gate, and it won't really, I mean, and there's no Exynos variant because obviously it's one great foldable. You're paying a lot of money for it, and you probably have to get the fastest processor. I probably say buy it, recommend it. I mean, so about the cameras, there was one I was mentioning. There was one cool feature in the camera where you could use a selfie camera on the outer display. But if you have the phone folded out already, you can do that on the left side. You can use the back camera sensors right on your outer display. I think that's kind of cool. It reminds me of what I don't think it's been in the Galaxy Fold. Correct me if you can on if you're on Instagram or Twitter at Said underscore my own if that was on the Galaxy Fold. I don't remember being it on the Galaxy Fold. On the Z Fold 2 though, you could do this where if you have it all folded out, you could use the front outer display as a selfie viewfinder. You get a high resolution selfie camera. They're pretty cool. It reminds me what's been on the Huawei Mate X, where you just use one set of cameras, even if you're folded out. But that's obviously all screen folded out phone from the outside. Here it's basically like a book, as I like to say. And also, If you're already taking a photo from your phone and someone's in it, you can even have a viewfinder on the outer display, which I think is one of the cool use cases of foldable phones in general. So that's something to point out. So yeah, in terms of specs, really, it's really one of the most high-end phones out there. Being you're getting a pretty premium experience for the money. You have a fingerprint sensor on the side as like a button, so you open it and it unlocks the whole device. It's dual SIM in select markets. There's nothing mentioned about SD card support. I'm sure there must be. You could put an SD card. It's not mentioned anywhere. Oh, the Z Fold 2 will be available with 12 gigabytes of RAM and 256 gigabytes of storage. Though there is a 512 gigabyte variant that's only available in China, Hong Kong, and Taiwan. So if you live there, if you can go to Hong Kong, you can get a 512 gigabyte version. It's just Samsung being nice with the market as big as China. You get double the storage because we have a lot of files. It can do fast charging, wired and wireless. Yes, did I mention it's also it can do wireless charging. It has a 4,500 milliamp hour battery. And supports all the big network standards, including full 5G service, so you're not missing out on high-speed connectivity. Honestly, this phone is a great 5G phone as it is. So basically, they talked about some of those specific specs. Oh, and about displays, the inner main display when you fold it out, it runs at 120 hertz refresh rate. Honestly, I didn't really mention that means, it's how standardized it's become. Every other phone out there should have a high refresh rate standard. But a little cool tidbit is that the Z Fold 2 could output to a TV at 4K resolution using DisplayPort, not HDMI. A lot of phones typically use HDMI, but DisplayPort is supported, which I think is really cool. So that's that. And also, they showed another thing they didn't show in the original Unpacked event, that is you can get your Z Fold 2 customized with a little hint with a unique hinge color, so it can go with your with already it's gonna come in black and bronze, but obviously, I mean you could change the color as you like, and I don't forget to mention that the customized hinge. Option is only available in select markets. All over, I mean, is only available in select markets. It's not the full list. Hang on. But all the major market in some select major markets, you're able to get your hinge changed, the hinge color changed, and also you get a 1 year. A screen replacement guarantee, so if the screen cracks, you can get a replacement right away in real time, which is pretty awesome. And it's all for $2,000. So honestly, if you missed out on the Galaxy Fold or you didn't want to buy it, or you just weren't thinking about it because it kept cracking out, now is the time to do it. It's really high quality. Oh, and did I mention you can get 3 years of software upgrades, which is really cool. Overall, it's a solid. The Z Fold 2 is quite a solid phone. The biggest difference I quickly say is that it's more polished, it's more nicer than the original Fold. It has the same, almost the same hinge, me improved hinge mechanism from compared to this Galaxy Fold. Now you could not only fold out the phone, but you can have it at a particular angle. So if you use the inner outer display, you can have it set at a specific angle. It won't flip out and flip in like the Galaxy Fold, so that's pretty cool because it has a unique hinge mechanism and also a sweeper structure. So if sand actually does get in, it can just flick it out on the side. So pretty cool, foldable. I mean, what do I think of it? I would say that again, if you already buy stuff, being an early adopter. If you are willing to be an early adopter of foldables, highly recommend the Z Fold 2. Really is the fold. It's getting better generation by generation. If you are a regular consumer, probably you would want to stick around till the Fold 5 comes out. Jokes. LOL. The Z Fold 2 has become a thing, but honestly, for average consumers, you probably might want to wait till the Z Fold 4 or 5 when they fix a lot of things on it and they dramatically tweak a lot of things on it. It's polished enough that it's your everyday phone. But if you want, if you are a if your phone, if you use your phone as a productivity powerhouse and you want something innovative and pretty cool and it has party tricks, the Z Fold 2 is highly, highly recommended. Do go for it if you have the money. If you have $2,000, genuinely recommend this. So that was the Z Fold 2 for you. Now the ZTE X20 5G. So ZTE have announced a new flagship of their very own, basically the world's first under-display smartphone. So it's a full bezel-less display on the front, and then on the back is a pretty good set of cameras. Let me see which one is this. I have to get through the press release here. Okay. Doesn't say much about. All right. And it's got. It's got four cameras on the back. And it's quite elegantly designed. But one interesting thing about the Axon 20 is that it has. It's the first smartphone with an under-display camera. So you don't see the camera anywhere unless you switch the selfie app, and then sorry, the camera app, and then it would completely eliminate the bezel out of the gate. So that's pretty cool. There are very few companies that have designed this kind of technology in general. So I mean, is this showing the phone without a camera on all the time, which is pretty interesting. It has a Snapdragon 765G paired with starting from 6 gigabytes of RAM all the way down, 6 gigabytes of RAM, 128 gigabytes of storage, all the way to 8 gigabytes of RAM and 256 gigabytes of storage. Overall, not bad for the record of being the first phone without with a built-in selfie camera. Hang on. Where were we? Oh yeah, and the front camera, it's a 32 megapixel regular sensor. Let's see. That it's just mentioned only in the specs. It's got a 4,220 milliamp hour battery. It can utilize a USB SD card slot, and can run on 5G. Now this is the interesting thing. It's only going to be available in China at the moment. So there's no talk about being available outside of the ch outside of China. It'll be available starting from 2,198 RMB. Let me just quickly type that into Google. You can hear the click and clack. That basically costs $321, if I'm not mistaken. It is $300 for a phone where the selfie camera kind of disappears. Pretty good value. You get real innovation here. It's kind of not so exciting. It's just like a really cool phone that ZTE have pumped out. They could be able to release it. They're the first. Show me. I d forgot to mention in my previous episode. Show me in its. Show me did mention a few. Showed off its under display camera, selfie camera technology. Their own that they're d testing and developing right now, and they're claiming that'll come out by next year. It'll be available in 2021. One of their phones will be available with it starting in 2021, which means they are working on it. They're f cleaning out the bugs, which is quite interesting. And this, so it's the this is the ZTE Axon 20. I mean, if you notice by my few minutes of talking, it's not really a big deal, but it's a good phone. So yeah. All right, you might want to turn RTX on for this. Haha, see what I did there? Jokes aside, podcasts don't need RTX rendering, and unless it cleans out your voice, which is what RTX Voice does. I like what NVIDIA is doing here. I mean, they are really creating quite iconic GPUs. Because yesterday, Okay, September 1st, really. They officially showed off the brand new RTX 30 series, the 3000 series graphics cards, the 37, the 38, the 370, the 380, and the 390. So let's just crack through it with all three graphics cards. So the NVIDIA RTX 30 series GPUs are basically are NVIDIA's latest and greatest graphics cards that run on Ampere architecture. Ampere is NVIDIA's a second generation RTX based architecture. So this is following up Turing, and it has and some groundbreaking stuff here that we're talking about. The 30 series cards will have up to 24 gigabytes of blazing fast GDDR6X VRAM, first GPUs to come with HDMI 2.1, so you could do high refresh rate 4K resolution gaming, and can start doing 8K gaming, from starting for 30 frames per second, because you gotta start somewhere. First discrete GPUs with support for the A1 codec, which is kind of cool, so you can watch YouTube videos a bit quickly because that's where our AV1 is. And overall, they have three new cards that they've announced, but first we've gotta talk about we just got to talk about that architecture, that sweet Ampere architecture, dramatically improved ray tracing performance. It's kind of become a joke, RTX on. I mean, see what I did there. But the Ampere processors feature, hang on. I'm going through a lot of data right here. They feature faster second generation ray tracing cores, third generation tensor cores, which essentially mean a new streaming multiprocessors that bring together stunning visuals, faster frame rates, and AI acceleration for gamers and creators, because that's all what PC gaming PCs are targeted to, hardcore gamers or content creators. So, overall, the second gen RTX based Ampere architecture has 28 billion transistors, 30 shader teraflops, 58 ray tracing teraflops, and 238 tensor teraflops with Micron G6X memory, the fastest in the world for memory, and has been made on a Samsung 8N NVIDIA custom process. Very technical. Overall, from Turing, you get 1.9 times performance per watt improvement, which is dramatic. So, I mean, very, very efficient. Overall, with all the new cores, you essentially get 2.7 times more shader flops, teraflops, than a Turing card. 1.7 times more ray tracing cores than the Turing chips, and 2.7 times more tensor cores compared to Turing. Overall, dramatically day and night faster, and improved NVIDIA DLSS processing. Basically, the idea is that frame rate, the image quality is high image quality is maintained, and then frame rates are boosted. So essentially, you get a dramatic improvement in overall game performance. Ray tracing is there. Overall, also the RTX 30 series GPUs also have GDDR6X memory, which is on the RTX 380 and 390. It has innovative PAM4 signal transmission technology to once again double the data rate per clock, delivering unprecedented graphics memory performance to feed the most data-hungry workloads such as gaming, professional visualization, and AI reference. Frickin' fast. And also, it will do HDMI 2.1, so you can do 8K resolution playback with a, and you can play games at 8K resolution, roughly around 24 to 30 frames per second without a problem. We'll have to wait and see for the tests. There are no tests that have come out for these 30 series cards, but they'll probably be able to run games at 8K resolution, starting at 24 frames per second. 4K 60, hell yeah, that's probably possible on the 30 series now out of the gate without a problem. Overall. And also, speaking of RTX, the upcoming Call of Duty game, Call of Duty, Warzone, and Modern Warfare, and Fortnite will all be able to use RTX rendering, so you can get clearer, more crystal clear gaming. I mean, RTX really is quite a revolution. Oh, and there was one interesting technology that NVIDIA talked about very briefly, but it was a big deal because this is targeting the games consoles, and that is RTX IO technology, which means that the GPUs have processors now. Okay, I'll code this from NVIDIA directly. NVIDIA has created RTX IO. This delivers GPU-based lossless decompression and low-level, super-efficient APIs architected specifically for game workloads. Essentially, this means that you can if you have a Gen 4 PCIe NVMe SSD right next to your RTX graphics card, you get 20 times faster performance than current drives released a few years ago. So you can start running games at roughly 0.5 seconds, I think, which is dramatic, very, very fast for what it is. This is pretty much taking on what the memory the processing, the storage optimizations, loading optimizations that PS5 and Xbox Series X have brought to the table. So really neck and neck, really bringing some big balls to the table compared to the consoles. Overall, high performance gaming out of the gate. And better processing for AI tasks, and obviously faster rendering. That's all we want with these cards, right? So with it, NVIDIA with the Ampere architecture, NVIDIA has brought three cards: the affordable RTX 3070 with 5,888 CUDA cores, 8 GB of GDDR6 RAM memory, and will be available for from $500 starting in October. The RTX 3080 has 8,704 CUDA cores, 10 GB of GDDR6X RAM, and it'll be available from $699 starting on September 17th. Nice. And then the GeForce RTX 3090. Now that's the highest end, the fastest processor available in the market. It has 10,496 CUDA cores, 24 GB of GDDR6X memory, and be available from $1,499. It'll be $4,499, available from September 24th. So soon enough, in a few weeks, you'll be able to get super fast memory. And the interesting thing is the design is quite unique. The 3080 has this unique sort of inverted fan design to push cooling. It has a dual axle cooler, so it'll be able to offer double the cooling performance. So pushes air right where it's needed and right where it's not needed, because two fans on the same board interface, why it causes a lot, still doesn't push enough heat. So that's smart. The 3090, though, I believe it can do 8K out of the gate. It's very fast. It can run games at 8K resolution. So very, very exciting times ahead with graphics cards technology in general. And also, oh yes, and I'm really meaning the 3090 can do 8K gaming with DLSS switched on. So pretty interesting stuff. Quite a lot of money. Oh, and if you are planning to run out and buy a GTX 30 series card, there's a good offer. Obviously, you can get a copy of Watch Dogs Legion that's coming out soon. I got 1 year of GeForce Now, so pretty exciting. We have to wait for the benchmarks to come out. That'll tell us, give us a good idea of whether this is good value for money. But the 3070 and 3080 are good value for money, from what I've heard online. Well-priced compared to the previous generation GPUs. So you're getting good value for money here, as always. And NVIDIA cards will perform really well with PC gaming. So that's definitely expected. So yeah, that's the RTX 30 series. RTX on. It's on. Moving on, so let's quickly get through and talk about two more stories before we wrap this up. Apple, we all know iPhone 12 is coming. According to Mac Otara, Apple's going to be doing their iPhone event in the latter half of October, and that will show off the iPhone 12, the Apple Watch Series 6, and finally the AirTags. Apparently, Mac Otara suggests that Apple initially planned to release the AirTags on the same time the 2020 iPhone SE was launched, but it was delayed, and now they're going to come out, and they're now planning to launch it in October. So that's pretty interesting. We really don't know when they're going to launch when they're going to be doing the event. We will find out in a few more days. I have a feeling it will probably be done in October, so it'll be a bit closer to the release, to the launch, mainly to the release of the iPhone 12 series. I bet we've all been waiting forever for this, so yeah. And another story, LG have released a teaser for the Wing phone. They're going to unveil the Wing smartphone on September 14th at around 11 p.m. Korean Standard Time, which is, I think, if I calculate this right, 7 p.m., 6, 7 o'clock Karachi time, hopefully, or 2 p.m. UTC, so yeah, 7 p.m. Karachi time, so that's pretty fun. They showed a bit of a teaser where they really show the form factor, where there's a wave in the phone, and there's another like window that's like popping out, so that's showing the phone's form factor. So yeah, that's pretty cool. Can't wait for this one. So I mean we have foldable phones now, and I keep saying that we have a lot of foldable phones coming out, and there'll be more coming out, and I honestly would argue that that foldables really will take a good while before they become mainstream, because the technology to make them is quite expensive. It's quite complex. A lot of innovation is groundbreaking innovations happening here, and it's going to take a good while before you see foldables everywhere. But I'll tell you, I can see a good use case for foldables. Everyone's going to buy one, and more people buy. Economies of scale, Google it. You know, economies of scale. Overall, the price of this technology will come down. Everyone will be able to afford it. It'll be in high demand. I mean, there's a lot of people interested. It's quite innovative, and I think people pay a lot of money for a foldable phone. It's going to take a while. But you can't compare it to 5G phones. 5G phones, it's more about the networks going online, the chipsets being available. Networks and chipsets are available broadly now. A lot of networks out there. There are a lot of chipsets. Some major markets that still don't have 5G, like India, or let's just say, I'm trying to think, Indonesia maybe, or South Africa, or Brazil. 5G is not available in those markets yet. So will other more markets come online, more chipsets come out, then it will become cheaper. Whereas foldables will take a good while, a good long time before they become mainstream. So that's one thing I wanted to note and share my opinion. Really, you're gonna pay a lot of money for these bad boys until the price goes down. They're quite innovative. That's the thing. So yeah, that's the podcast. Thanks for listening. Thank you very much for listening. Don't forget to subscribe. If you're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, if you're on Apple Podcasts, please leave a review and tell us how you feel about the show. Give us feedback, whatever you've heard today or about the show in general, on Twitter or Instagram at @Sade_my99. Thanks for listening. That's all we have time for. Until Monday, thanks for listening, and have a great day. Ciao. Thanks for listening.